Genesis chapter 2, Genesis 2, 18 through 24. Talking about the home and the family this morning. And why don't you stand with me, please, as we look at Genesis 2, 18. The Bible says, "The Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet for him. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all the cattle and to the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field, but for Adam there was not found an helpmeet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of the ribs, and he closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bone, and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Word of God and for the things that it teaches us and the instruction that is there for us. Lord, simple truths that we need to be reminded of and remembered, because the world is trying so hard to eradicate them and erase them from society. Lord, that's not going to happen here, not while we have your Word, not while we're able to read it and preach it and teach it and live by it. I pray that you'd empower everyone under the sound of my voice this morning to just make up their minds that they're just going to do what the Bible says, believe it, and live it out. And we know that we'll be blessed because of it. Thank you for this time in your Word, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. How many think the family's under attack this morning? I know some of you probably are living in Disneyland and everything's going great, but for most people, there's an attack going on for the family, for the home, and some of the things, obviously, I've been preaching on the home ever since I've been pastoring, I find myself now looking at truths and sharing thoughts that weren't necessary just a short while ago. But we have to start at the beginning, and you look at our text this morning in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 27 says, if you go back, and we read from Genesis chapter 2, Genesis chapter 1, let's take a look at what God did in Genesis 1 and verse 27. "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. Male and female created he them. God didn't create Adam and Steve. He created Adam and Eve. And there's male and female. There's an agenda by Satan to deconstruct what the Lord has established in the way of creation and family structure. News article that came yesterday from the Family Research Council. They are the legislative arm of one of the Christian organizations in Washington, D.C. They said in their letter, under a rule now being considered, the Labor Department would include, quote, "more complete categories of the various groups protected under the anti-discrimination policy, including persons of different sexes, to replace the term both sexes." That term has to go. The term both sexes. "And avoid binary terminology and be inclusive individuals who may not identify as male or female." Now, to me, that's just bizarre. Also, the Olympic Committee is letting athletes decide what their gender is. I'm not making this up, folks. You show up as a guy, but you really feel like you're a girl. You get to compete against the girls. Seems like that would be a little bit of an advantage. But this is our politically correct world that we are wandering into, that as crazy as it seems, let me tell you, I don't believe the craziness is going to stop. I think it's going to be more pronounced as time goes on. And you and I see these things, and votes will come up in Congress, and legislations will be set and agendas will be driven, all based on the concept that, please, whatever God says in His Word, we are trying desperately to stop it and reverse it. And that's what Satan's agenda is. So here we are this morning in the last Sunday of January in 2016, having to say that God created men and women, and they are different. They're not interchangeable parts. Guys are different than girls. Girls are different than guys. And that's the only two sexes there are. That's rocket science, I guess. But that's the reality of it. Psalm 139, 13 and 14 says, "For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb." Let me tell you, when you are fearfully and wonderfully made, and I'll get to that, and the Lord knew you before you breathed your first breath of air. God planned you. He knew you in your mother's womb. The psalmist goes on to say, "I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well." Fearfully and wonderfully made. That fearful word is used 378 times in the Old Testament. Sometimes it's translated afraid. Sometimes it's even translated terrible. It's just an awesome, just an incredible thing, the complexity of the human body. And I want to read you some statistics about the human body that God made you. You are not some blob of protoplasm that over a billion years developed into this. That is just as crazy as thinking there's male and female that are interchangeable or whatever. You are a creation by God. And I want to say, men, if you are a male, it's because not because you landed that way somehow. God made you that way. If you are a female, God has made you a woman. You are supposed to be a woman. Don't try to act any other part than a woman. Thank God you are a woman. Men bow to you. Hallelujah. We need women. God created you because men alone are pathetic. We are in desperate need of women in society. The Bible teaches that. How wonderfully, incredibly are we made. Adult humans have 206 bones, 640 muscles, 78 internal organs, 12 organ systems, 900 ligaments, thousands of tendons, and 100 trillion cells. Your heart pumps approximately 2,000 gallons of blood through its chambers every single day. It beats 100,000 times per day to achieve this goal. You take around 17,000 breaths a day. A typical pair of adult lungs can hold 6 liters of air. We recently had one of our ladies in this church in the hospital with a breathing issue. Doctors out of one of her lungs removed 2 liters of fluid. And you think, wow, that's how could you even be breathing? But an adult human lung can hold up to 6 liters of air. You think 50,000 thoughts a day, 35 to 48 thoughts a minute. Cells in your stomach lining produce an alkaline substance that neutralizes acid. If they didn't do this, your stomach would digest itself because some stomach acids could dissolve metal. When we were young, when you're young, enjoy your youth. You can eat anything. And older people would look at us as kids and say, wow, you can't eat that. You must have a cast iron stomach. Well, you know, you're closer to the thing. You blink 28,000 times a day. Red blood cells shoot around your body, making a full circuit in less than 60 seconds. That's 1,440 trips around your body every day, delivering oxygen and keeping your body energized. Each cell lives for about 40 days before being replaced by a younger model. I like that. Sometimes I wonder if my wife doesn't want to replace me with a younger model. But anyway, you produce heat in your body that is heat in your body every day that's the equivalent of 25 light bulbs. You shed more than a million skin cells every day. Now, this is kind of disgusting. But you shed more than a million skin cells every day, but they are constantly replenished. The brain and mouth work together for most people. But I'll just, it didn't say that. I just want to qualify that. The brain and mouth work together to allow us to speak 5,000 words per day for a woman and 2,000 words a day for a man. Now, that's just the way it is. Now, obviously, men, we have more to say, but we just can't get it in. So, your liver, in the course of a day, manufactures cholesterol, vitamin D, and blood plasma. It identifies the nutrients your body needs, stores them away for future use. It filters 1.5 quarts of blood every minute and produces a quart of bile every day to help break down your food. And folks, that's just a short list of what the human body does. And don't come to me and say there is no God and we got here by some evolutionary process. Because not only, let's just say through evolution, through some random process, and now they will say that maybe there is a higher power, a more intelligent being out there, but they won't call it God, they'll call it an alien that lives in some other race somewhere, transported here a long time ago, created man, and then went back to whatever planet they came from. They'd rather believe that. Then Genesis 1:1 that says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. I want you to know that even if, let's just say for some crazy idea, there was some way that a man could evolve and become this incredible specimen that you see standing on the stage, okay? Let's just say, you have to have a female evolve that would perfectly fit together with the man to propagate the race. It is impossible. There is no way. I'll tell you how we got here. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And he created male and female. And he put them in the Garden of Eden. And he told them to be fruitful and multiply. And through this wonderful process of marriage and relationships, we have this union that can take place between a man and a woman that produces more children. And it's a tremendous blessing that God has gifted us with. And let me tell you something, it is fantastic. God blessed us and gave us ability to do incredible things. And here we are, so thankless, so pathetic, that we want to kick him out of society and tell him to get out of our life. Well, let me tell you something. Be careful what you wish for. Amen. Because America is slowly kicking God out of society, and we're not getting better. And there are just so many illustrations of that that I could talk to you about. But, you know, I'm a gun guy. I love guns. I collect them. I have a lot of them. I don't have as many as I need, but I have some, okay? I think it's wonderful that the state of Maine has passed concealed carry. I love all of that stuff. But what's sad to me is that we need to. We didn't used to have to do that. We didn't used to have to think about arming ourselves. You know, growing up as kids, we'd watch the old West shows, and we'd think, wow, how great would it be to be in those days and stare down some guy in a saloon. Of course, we'd never be in a saloon. We'd have to stare down some guy at the Baptist church that wasn't tithing. Ah, you know, I'll get him. You know, and you're just thinking, how cool would it be to every day wear a gun on your belt and twirl it around? And, wow, notches and all that cool stuff as kids you watch and grow up. But that was an unruly society. Now here we are coming back around again. You know what changed society? Churches being planted, the gospel being preached, people being willing to listen. And then society became safe. Now what do we need? More police officers, more guns. What's happening, folks? Society is breaking down. Why? Because God has been kicked out of society. In the old frontier, God wasn't there, man was. God came onto the scene through circuit riding preachers, evangelists, preachers, the gospel. Society was established. Churches were planted. Homes came in. Society stabilized. Now as we're kicking God out of our schools, get out of my life, I'll do what I want. Now we need more police, more guns. Folks, we're not getting better. A godless society is not what we need. What we need is a God-fearing society to bring things back. But I digress. God made you male and female, and not by nature, but by the hand of God. God created the man and woman. We were manufactured. Genesis 2:18. Go back to our text. And the Lord said, it's not good that man should be alone. I'll make a helpmeet for him. And then in verse number 21, and the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took of the ribs. He closed up the flesh instead thereof, and the rib which the Lord God took out of man, he made a woman and brought her unto the man. And then obviously this is in Adam said, this is now bone of my bones. She shall be called woman. When I was a kid, there was this evangelist that came to church. I was a teenager. It was at the Pentecostal church. The Pentecostals are more willing to say certain things than the Baptists were that I came from. And he said, we read in the text, she shall be called woman. But really what Adam was saying is, whoa, man. And that's why she's called woman. All right. So I'm just quoting another preacher. That's all. So obviously that is the first picture. Really, this is where we point at. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife. And that's where you hear the term leave and cleave. A man and a woman get married and they go off and they start a home and family of their own. And mom and dad, I know you love your kids, but your kids don't need you looking over their shoulder constantly once they've gone off. I know you want to be a parent. I know you feel like you could tell them some things and show them the right way and they could learn some important things for you. But you know what? The Bible says they need to leave and cleave and they're on their own. Shut the door and lock it when they go out and just shout, hallelujah, I'm free, I'm free. That's what the process is. It's a new family, a new start. But that's where we point to marriage, right there in the leave and cleave of Genesis chapter 2. And it's a wonderful thing. So God manufactured man and woman, and then they became married in Genesis chapter 2. And then there is the great mystery. And we're going to spend the rest of our time in Ephesians chapter 5. Now remember, we're talking about marriage and the family. And the Apostle Paul talks about this whole process. And I alluded to this, Sean and Becca are here, are some of our newlyweds here in the church. And I alluded to this process at their wedding ceremony, in that ceremony, some of the things that I say this morning, you will have heard from me already. But the Bible records in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 25, you know, your pew Bible, that's on page 1254. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present it unto himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that which should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies, and he that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, there's that leave and cleave again, shall leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery. This is a great mystery. Say that with me. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. So here's the mystery, and you and I have all thought these thoughts before, so don't, as I share these with you, don't you look at me like a mule looks at a new gate. I don't have two heads. You've thought these things. I'm just going to say them out loud. But what happens is you see a couple, and they become attracted with one another. Maybe he gives her the eye in it. Did you ever, you know, if you can see my eyebrow, you know, you're doing whatever you can to get her to notice you. Because, guys, there's nothing about us that's all that noticeable. So you do whatever you can to get her to notice you. And then she sees you, and she's kind of attracted. And we watch that whole process. And what we are thinking, guys, is what does she see in him? There's a mystery there. I don't know why it is. It's a God thing that men and women are attracted to one another because really there's, I was raised sugar and spice and everything nice. That's what girls are made of. And snakes and snails and puppy dogs' tails. That's what boys are made of. And, you know, there's a lot of truth in that. Guys are pigs. And ladies are something special. And why there's a mystery there. Now, listen, guys, I know you're not appreciating all the praise I'm heaping on you this morning, but really, that's what we are, okay? So the mystery is, what's the attraction? What do they see in each other? But for whatever reason, God creates that attraction. And the mystery starts in the dating process and getting to know one another. And so you do the best you can, guys, to lie and lie and lie and lie until you can get them down to the aisle and say, I do, and then you got them, okay? But the whole dating process goes on where you get to know one another and you're courting and you're spending time together. And eventually, if you can talk them into it, there's an occasion where you, in my life, I go to the dad and I say, I'd like to marry your daughter. And he looks at me and, okay, never any excitement. I've had to ask this twice. And there's never any excitement there. But, you know, my first father-in-law, Raymond, we had a little spat after he had given me permission, you know? Raymond says, I know I told you what you could, but boy, if you asked me again, I'd say no, you know? at that point, buddy, it was too late. I got her, all right? So you ask permission. If they say yes, then you can go to the, and you arrange whatever romantic setting, and you get down on one knee, and you pop out this pathetically small diamond is all you can afford, and you hand it to him and you say, will you marry me? And obviously the process starts and you get married. And then as you spend time together, after you get to know one another, you're two totally different people. But as you spend time together, you start to become more like each other. I know, ladies, you're not pleased with all this, but the reality of it is, as you get to know one another, Emily and I have been together for 14, huh? Almost 14. So we've been together 13, going on 14, and I know it's probably an insult to her, but the reality of it is after 14 years together, we're thinking pretty much alike. I'll illustrate it to you like this. For instance, sometimes I'll hear something from the female in the family. And this is how I used to think. I'll share this with you. Maybe I shouldn't. It's too late. I've gotten here. I'll hear something from the female in the family, and I'll know the man. And guys, we think we know one another. And, you know, and I'll think, well, she may think that, but there's no chance her husband does. You're an idiot if you think that. If they've been together for any amount of time at all, two become one. They start thinking the same. A lot of times guys are thinking it, but it's their wife that expresses it. That's true, isn't it? Thank you. I appreciate the backup here because, Terry, I feel all alone right now. I'm telling you, I'm walking where angels fear to tread. But what happens in the relationship as you spend more and more time together, Emily and I will look at each other now and then and she'll say exactly what I'm thinking or vice versa. She'll say, you know, that's what I was thinking too. Why? Because as you spend time together and you love one another and you want to honor one another, your thinking starts to become the same. And it's a good thing. Don't get me wrong. It's a good thing. But that's how the process works. It's a great mystery. Guys, you ever notice that when your wife is talking, even though you might be thinking alike now and all this, but there are some things that you never get. And my wife will come home from shop and let me show you what I got. I don't know how many times I've told her, she's not listening, I don't care what you've got and I don't want to see it. But she has to bring it all out. Oh, look at the clothes I got for the kids. I'll see them when they put them on, baby. I don't have to go through all this. She brings them all out and stuff. Now, if she's been to, there are once in a while I want to see some things, but that's a different story altogether, okay? Now, you can figure that out, all right? Yeah, all right, yeah. Well, is it warm here? Is it? So, but guys, isn't it a mystery? Isn't it a mystery how a woman thinks? It is. isn't it a mystery how a man thinks, ladies? It is. But I'll tell you what, it's a special thing that God created when two come together and you love one another. It may be confusing to some, but it's very special to those two. Isn't that true? Please don't miss that. So here we are. Paul says, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Everything I've just been talking about right now, all of the humor, all the fun we just enjoyed, we're talking about Christ and the church. Marriage, Satan hates marriage, hates the home, hates the family, because God absolutely loves it. And Satan is trying to destroy it because he has no power to affect God. Satan can't come to God and say, I hate you, you're ruining my day. God's just going to say, boy, I won't be able to sleep tonight. I don't know what you're thinking, you know. It's not going to affect God one bit. But it does affect God when someone hurts his family. And that's the only way Satan can ruin God's day, is by wreaking havoc on what he has established and he loves so much. And so what, Satan come in? There is no male or female. Two people together, that's love, that's marriage. No, it's not. Marriage is between a male and a female. That's the way it is. You can't change that. But Satan wants so much to change the sexes, to change marriage, to change the family. And I'll tell you what you have to do is take whatever concept someone comes up with, whatever they're thinking, where's the end result of that? And I'll tell you what, if marriage is destroyed and the end result is two men and two women, it's only one generation and society disappears. How are you going to have kids? How are you going to procreate? How are you going to raise families? It's over. Satan's not stupid. It's a great mystery. But I speak concerning Christ and the church, and Satan is trying to destroy what God loves. That's always been his plan. That's what he's always tried to do. So how's it work? Well, man finds a woman, woman finds a man. The courting begins. They vow never to leave, for better, for worse, for richer, for poor, in sickness and health. They become one as time passes. They become like each other. And then through their union, through the marriage union, multiplication happens. Society is procreated. I speak concerning Christ and the church. Here's the deal. And I wish we had more time to develop this thought, because I think it's important how the process goes. But I've been married twice, obviously, but not by my choosing, by God's choosing. My first wife, Lori, her and I went to high school together. First time I saw her as a freshman, walking in, you had to take an entrance exam at this small Christian school that we went to find out how smart you were, to figure out where to place you in school. I tested out as an eighth grader in high school, but anyway, that's beside the point. But so we go in to take the entrance exam, and while I'm sitting at this little cubicle taking this test, in comes this, walks this girl before my freshman year. I did not want to be in this school. I wanted to go to the public school. My parents hated me, so they made me go to this Christian school. And so whatever the process was, but I'm sitting here taking this test thinking, I don't even want to go here. I'll flunk this thing. I don't want to do this. And in walks Lori. And I'm thinking, you know, maybe this place isn't so bad. And so all through high school, I'm trying to get her attention. I'm trying to get her attention. And finally I do, and said, she didn't even like me. We dated for 3 months, she dumped me. That was as a junior. She knew me, I knew her, I had shown her what I had to offer, which wasn't a whole lot. And then that whole process goes on, and I'm there. Finally, I just gave up. I've shown her that I'm interested, I've done everything I could. Every now and then when she had a bad day and I saw her off crying in the library or something, I'd show up. How you doing? Everything okay? She wasn't interested in me, but I was interested in her. She goes off to Bible college in 1980, the Baptist Bible College, Springfield, Missouri. I stay home. She's out there checking out the whatever there is to offer in Springfield, Missouri. All the time, though, she's out there in Springfield, Missouri. She knows there's a guy back home that's really interested in her. She's looking all around. She comes home, Christmas break, 1980. And she says, you know, I was out there all that time looking and looking, and nothing really compared to Stan. And from that point on, we were together, and we were never apart. Now, I tell you that story, it's because of this. And this is how it works. Somewhere along the life, as you're living and breathing, God comes into your life, and you hear about Jesus Christ. And some people, as soon as they hear about Christ, they see, yeah, that's what I want, and they accept Christ. Others, they continue to look. The world is enticing. They want to have fun. They want to do these things. And so what does Christ do? He never forces himself in. But he's there. And whenever you're down or bothered by something, he's there. And sometimes you even talk to him and say, God, if you're real, I'm sure hurting right now. But nothing happens. And you watch what else there is to offer, and you really don't find anything. And then all of a sudden, somehow through the power of the Holy Spirit, the light comes on, and you finally realize, you know what, I've looked all around, and that Christ that I heard about a while ago, a year ago, 2 years ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, whoever, you're starting to realize that, you know what, he's what I'm looking for. And you accept him into your heart, and you say, Lord, I am a sinner, because Jesus came to save sins. If you're not a sinner, you don't need Christ. You need to realize you're a sinner. But once you realize you're a sinner, only Jesus can take care of your sin problem. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. Then you start and you realize you want Christ, and he's there. And you accept him. That's the marriage. And he promises in Hebrews 13:5, I will never leave you or forsake you, just like I promised Emily at the altar. I will never leave her. Not going to happen. And so he makes that promise to you, I will never leave you, just like Christ in the church, and that marriage takes place. And the more you spend time together, the more you're praying and reading your Bible and sensing God's Spirit in your life, you know what happens? You start to become like him. You start saying things you never would have said before. Where'd that come from? It's that person, that God living inside of you, that is changing you and loving you. Jeremiah 31:6 says, the Lord hath appeared unto old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. That drawing that you feel coming to Christ, that's him being there. John 15:16 says, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. Once we get married to Christ, we accept him as our Savior. He says, but grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we're out of time this morning, but I want you to know that marriage and family is a picture of Christ and the church. And when you choose him and he moves in with you, you become like him. And I'm telling you, and then as you fall in love together and you become more like one another, that union creates more believers. How does that happen? Hopefully, you talk about him, you share your faith, people see the change in you, and they're interested in having what you have, and you are saved to serve and to multiply and share your faith. And I'm here to tell you that you can't go wrong when you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. He's been waiting, he's been watching, he's been hoping that you'll choose him. And when you do, oh man, what a deal. You can't beat being a Christian. You can't beat being a Christian. Say that with me. You can't beat being a Christian. Heavenly Father, thank you for the time we've had this morning. I hope what we've said and talked about has made sense. Lord, I pray for every person here that doesn't know you as their personal Savior, that perhaps they've sensed that you've been hanging around, hoping they'd notice, you wanting them to choose you, but you're not going to force yourself on them. And at some point, we need to realize that you are what I've been looking for. We say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart and be my Savior. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ in the church. With heads bowed and eyes closed, if you're here this morning, you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, He's waiting in the wings. He's watching you. He's hoping you'll notice. He's tugging on your heartstrings. And this is your opportunity this morning to say, you know what? He's what I want. I want Christ in my life. And it's as simple as praying and telling Him. Prayer is just talking to God. And you say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart and forgive my sins. You are a sinner, bound for an eternal destiny without Christ. But this morning, when you invite Him into your heart and life, He forgives your sins and you become debt-free. But you need to pray and ask Him to come in, because He'll never force His way in. So this morning, if you're willing, we'd like you to pray this prayer. You don't need to say it out loud, just in your heart. I want you to say, Dear Lord Jesus. Say those words, Dear Lord Jesus. Then say, Come into my heart and be my Savior. Invite Him in. Tell Him, I believe in You. Help me to trust You. If you'd say that to Him, I believe in You. Help me to trust You. Thank You for hearing my prayer.